Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Margaret Paul, and I'm very pleased to be here with you this evening for the free webinar on healing emotional dependency. So let's talk first about what is emotional dependency. I'm going to speak for a while on emotional dependency, and then I'm going to give you that are on the phone a chance to answer, to ask your questions, as well as answer some of the questions that people have written in. Emotional dependency is when you cannot feel happy and full and safe inside without somebody else making you feel full and happy and safe. It's when you're dependent on another person for your feelings of worth, your fun, your well-being, when you make somebody else responsible for defining whether or not you're okay or you're not okay, and somebody else responsible for providing you the sense of fullness that comes inside when you feel love. And so we're emotionally dependent when we don't know how to bring love into ourselves, how to truly value ourselves and define our own worth and create our own inner sense of safety. Now, many of us learn to be emotionally dependent as we're growing up because we grew up with parents who were also emotionally dependent. You may have seen your parents relying on each other for feeling okay, blaming each other when they didn't, making each other responsible for their behavior, for their addictions, for their feelings. You probably did not see your parents sitting down doing an inner process such as inner bonding to discover how they might be abandoning themselves, because our parents really didn't know how to do that. My parents didn't know how to do that. I never saw either of my parents say, gee, you know, I'm feeling anxious. I wonder what I'm telling myself that's making me feel anxious. It was always about something that I was doing or something that the other person was doing that was making them feel bad. And so most of us grew up with that role modeling where our parents or other caregivers blamed somebody else for their feelings because they had no idea how to take responsibility for their own feelings. So what are the ways that we try to get others to take responsibility for us? Now, these are all the ways that we have learned as we were growing up to try and have control. Now, some of us learned overt forms of trying to control other people, where we may get angry and blaming and attacking and critical and judgmental, and we may use sarcasm, we may have temper tantrums. We may have learned more covert ways, such as giving ourselves up, caretaking, going along with what somebody else wants us to be, or withdrawing and shutting down and being resistant. And these are all ways that we might have learned to try and have some control over getting people to do what we want them to do in order for us to feel loved and for us to feel filled up inside. And so many of us have learned many, many forms of control. And unfortunately, we learn these as we're growing up, and we bring them into our relationships, and we go right on doing the things that we learned from our parents, that we learned to protect ourselves, that we learned to try and control, whether it's, you know, placing demands and blaming, or whether it's caretaking, giving ourselves up, going along with somebody else in the hopes that then they'll give us the approval and the attention and the love that we feel that we need in order to feel okay inside. Now, what's really happening here is that virtually all of us grew up and had experiences that were very painful. We may have been physically abused, sexually abused, emotionally abused, neglected. We may have been hurt in a lot of ways. And when we're children and we're being hurt in some way, we're not being loved, we have little bodies, we have no ways, no skills, no coping mechanisms to really handle the big feelings of heartache and heartbreak and grief and sorrow and loneliness that we may have felt when we were young, that I'm sure that all of you did feel. And so when we feel these very big heart hurts, we have to learn to protect against them. We can't actually survive being that raw and having that level of heartbreak go on in our lives. And so we have to protect against it. And this is what creates our wounded self, which is our ego self. It's the part of us that we created to try and have control over getting love and avoiding pain, the pain of these core feelings that are so big and so difficult to handle. And so we developed this wounded self, and we learned many ways of trying to have control over getting the love we needed and avoiding the pain that we could not manage, and trying to create some sense of safety for ourselves. The problem is that we grew up continuing to avoid our core painful feelings. And as long as we're avoiding those feelings, we are abandoning ourselves. And we avoid those feelings not only with the various ways we try and control others, but the various ways we try and control our own feelings with all of our addictions, whether you've learned to turn to food or alcohol or drugs or television or work or sports or the computer or pornography. These are, you know, many, many ways. There's many addictions, video games, many addictions that we've all learned. In order to avoid the core pain that you might have never learned how to handle. And until you learn how to handle that core pain, you're going to be turning to addictions. And one of the addictions that many people turn to is other people. And that is that they become addicted to somebody else giving them the attention and the love and the approval that they're not giving to themselves. And that's really what the codependency is. And so until you learn how to manage these deeper painful feelings, you're going to be addicted to, whether it's substance abuse or process addictions, and addicted to people attending to you because you're not attending to yourself. The problem is that when we make somebody else responsible for our feelings, this is what creates all the problems in our relationships. The bottom line of relationship problems is self-abandonment. We are abandoning ourselves because we don't feel that we can manage our own feelings. We're turning to various addictions, and we're making the other person responsible for us. Now, when you get two people who come together, who are both abandoning themselves and both making the other person responsible for their sense of happiness and safety and worth, you have what's called a codependent relationship, and that's a relationship that ultimately does not work. And so there's a huge negative consequence of making others responsible for your feelings, and that is that you can't have a loving relationship. Loving relationships are the result of people learning how to love themselves, filling themselves with love, and being able to share that love with each other. They're not the result of expecting somebody else to make you feel worthy and lovable and safe. In addition, when you're making somebody else responsible, it's a very unsafe way to live, because then you're totally dependent on this person acting a certain way. You know, if this person calls a friend, you might get threatened by the attention that person is giving the friend, or an old flame, or an old partner, or the person goes out with friends for a night and you might feel very insecure, or you lose a partner and you end up feeling devastated and empty and alone, and you don't know how to handle that. And these are some of the negative consequences of making somebody else responsible for you. Whereas when you learn how to take responsibility for yourself, then whatever the other person does, or if you lose that other person, you still have yourself. You still know how to fill yourself up. You still know how to feel safe. You still know how to feel lovable. You're not left hanging there. So it's a very, very unsafe way to live, to make somebody else responsible and then to have to try and have control over them in the various ways that I've talked about. It's just not a happy, safe, and peaceful way to live. It's so unsafe to have your sense of worth, your very sense of worth, dependent on somebody else being there, somebody else loving you, somebody else being the way that you want them to be in order for you to feel okay. So I hope you can begin to see that it doesn't work. Codependency doesn't work. Being emotionally dependent doesn't work. It creates not only you feeling abandoned inside, but it creates the conflict and the problems in relationships. So let's talk for a few moments about healing emotional dependency. And this is really one of the things that the inner bonding process is about. It's such a powerful process for healing emotional dependency, because as you learn and practice the inner bonding process, what you're learning to do is to be present for your own feelings. You're learning to be conscious. You know, so many of us have gone through life kind of unconscious of our feelings, not being present in our body, being in our heads, wondering why we feel so bad, not being aware of the beliefs that are fueling our fears and our anxiety and our depression and our stress and our relationship problems. And so with the inner bonding process, when you learn and practice inner bonding, you learn to get present in your body, to be tuned into what you feel. And step one of inner bonding is making the decision that you want to feel your feelings and that you actually want responsibility for them. That's a big decision for a person to make. It's life-changing when you start learning the inner bonding process and you actually say, I want responsibility for my feelings. I want responsibility for how I'm creating my wounded feelings, my false beliefs, my behavior towards myself, my unloving, unkind ways that I'm treating myself that's causing me to feel anxious or depressed or alone or stressed. And I also want responsibility for my core feelings, for the heartache and the heartbreak and the loneliness, for being nurturing and compassionate, for bringing kindness and comfort to myself, and also for looking at the information that my core feelings have for me. Because, like, if you're with somebody and you're feeling afraid in their presence, that fear might be telling you that this is maybe a dangerous person to be around. You want to pay attention to that feeling. Or if you're feeling lonely around that person, that might be telling you that that person's heart is closed. And, you know, that's important information to have in terms of interacting with people. Our core feelings tell us an enormous amount about what's happening with others. Just like our wounded feelings, our fear and our anxiety and our guilt and our shame, they're telling us about what's going on internally, how we're treating ourselves, where our core feelings are telling us about what's going on externally, how somebody else is treating us, what's going on in the external environment. And so our feelings are our inner guidance, and they're always giving us information about how we're treating ourselves and what's going on with other people and situations externally. And so we need to be aware of these feelings, and we need to want responsibility. And this is one of the things that's so powerful about the inner bonding process, is that as you learn and practice it, it helps you become more and more aware of your own feelings, and you start to experience the joy and the freedom and the power of taking responsibility for your own feelings. And so when you're willing to do that and you're willing to move into a deep intention to learn, which is step two of inner bonding, and you really learn about how you're treating yourself, how you're being unloving to yourself, what your various addictions are doing to you, all the things you're doing to cause your own stress and your own anxiety and depression, and you're moving into an intention to learn about the core feelings and what they're telling you, and you're willing to feel your core feelings because now you have a tool to manage them. Inner bonding is such a powerful tool for managing core feelings because the process, as you learn and practice the process, it teaches you how to connect with a higher source of guidance, of comfort, of wisdom, so that you know that you're not alone. This is not just a concept. People have to actually get the experience of what it's like to not be alone, to know that there is a spiritual source there for you, that you can turn to at any time. And the practice of inner bonding develops this. I was just today looking at some of the comments on our membership site, which is just an incredible site. I just didn't realize that it's like having your own therapist there, because you can turn to it any time. You can ask those questions. You can receive information from others and help and support from others. And I was reading some of the comments there about how much people have progressed just through being a member of the website, because I just put up an article about what is emotional dependency, and it has a checklist on there. And so people were going through it and looking to see, you know, about themselves. And so many of the people commented and said, wow, this is really great, because just a few months ago when I started inner bonding, I would have checked off most of those things. And now, since I've been practicing it for a while, I'm not checking off any of those. And they were so delighted to see the rapid progress that they've been making through the practice of inner bonding just by being members of the website, because there's so much support there and so much learning. And so the healing of emotional dependency comes about through the practice of inner bonding, through your willingness to feel your core feelings and your wounded feelings and take responsibility for them. And it also comes about as you're willing to let go of control over other people and let go of thinking that you can change somebody else, and that if only they change, then you'll be okay, because that's a huge false belief. They're not causing your insecurity. They're not causing your lack of safety or your low self-worth. And thinking that we can control somebody else is a huge false belief that keeps people very stuck in relationships. And so when you're willing to let go of believing that you can control others, you're willing to feel your feelings, you're practicing inner bonding, you will find the emotional dependency gradually gets healed. The fact is that the more you learn to love yourself, the less emotionally dependent you are. This is the bottom line, is that we're emotionally dependent when we're abandoning ourselves. We heal emotional dependence when we learn to love ourselves, and that is what the inner bonding process is about. And so the more you learn to be kind to yourself and you make kindness towards yourself your guiding light. You'll learn to love yourself, and you will be healing that emotional dependency. You really, truly can heal it. And I just want to really encourage all of you who are struggling with emotional dependency to learn and practice the inner bonding process and to come and join us on the website, where you can ask me and Dr. Erica, the co-creator of Inner Bonding, questions anytime you want. And we always answer them generally within hours, where you can chat with us, where you can be on the discussion boards and get help, where you have access to the member articles and all the comments that people can put up. It's a real community with movie reviews and book reviews and creative writing and poetry and photography and videos. It's a community of people who care about each other and who support each other in becoming empowered, in becoming emotionally free, in creating loving relationships. And so I can't urge you more to join the community if you really want to learn truly what it means to be loving to yourself, what it means to really have emotional freedom. So I am going to take some questions now. And if you have a question, you can press *7. And then you'll be able to talk, because right now everybody's on mute. But if you press *7, it will unmute you, because we have a lot of callers on the line right now. And so if you would like to ask a question, press *7. If not, I will answer some of the questions that people have written in. So maybe you'll feel more comfortable after I ask one of the questions. But please feel free to press *7 if you'd like me to do a little bit of work with you, because that's what I do in these webinars. Is I like to do a little bit of work with people. It helps you understand more about the inner bonding process and helps you be more feel safe with it, because you'll see that this is not a judgmental process. It's a very kind, very loving process. So I'm going to answer a question here by Eileen in Anchorage. I'm grieving the loss of a 6-year relationship that ended in June 2009. I feel stuck. I continue to think about the last straw incident in which I chose to end the relationship. While I know that I cannot change him or make him understand me or make him accept my point of view as valid, there is a near continuous internal dialogue to this effect running through my head. Still, how can I get beyond this stage of loss and find peace with myself for ending the relationship? Now, when you're grieving a relationship for that long, that indicates that you're hoping that that person or somebody will come along and give you whatever it is you're not giving yourself. And I want to encourage you to think about, what do you hope would happen if you made him understand you or made him accept your point of view as valid? You see, in this situation, you are obsessing about what you could say and what you could do to get him to see your point of view, because you have a belief that if he understands you or he accepts your point of view, then somehow he will change and he will be the way you want him to be, and he will give you the things that you're not giving yourself, the love, the attention, the approval that you're not giving yourself. So you're saying, how do I find peace? And I want to encourage you, Eileen, to learn and practice inner bonding, because this is where you'll find your peace. This is where you'll learn to give yourself the understanding, to see your own views as valid, so that you don't need to make him understand you. Anytime we're trying to make somebody else understand us, it's because in some way we're not giving that to ourselves. And whenever we're trying to get somebody else to see our point of view as valid, it's because we're really not honoring our own point of view. We're trying to control somebody else and get them to honor us and approve of us and understand us, because we're not doing that for ourselves. And so I want to encourage you to learn and practice inner bonding and learn about how to validate yourself, how to truly understand yourself, how to give yourself the things that you're still missing from him and hoping that if only you could say the right thing to him, you could get from him. So but learning and practicing inner bonding will bring you the peace that you're looking for and enable you to finally let go of this relationship. So I'm wondering if there's anybody yet.
Dr. Paul?
Yes.
Dr. Paul? Yes.
Yes.
My name is Lynn.
Hello,
and
Lynn.
This is very scary, but I'm doing it.
Okay, good for you.
When I was 3, my sister passed away, and I don't know honestly what kind of impact that had on me, but I now know that it did have some kind of impact on me. I was also raised with a mother who was a wonderful woman, but she was raised in a boarding school, so therefore did not know how to show affection and love because she never had affection and love herself. And I have had trouble all my life forming solid relationships. My first marriage failed. My second marriage is 32 years now, and what I'm saying is I don't think it's going to fail, but I don't think it's what it could be either.
Right.
I actually believe that my husband also has issues from abandonment as a child and from the a death of when he was very tender and young. And the second trauma in my life was when I had ovarian cancer 12 years ago. And I healed from that, and it made a change in me to where I just wanted more. I wasn't happy, and I got unhappier and unhappier. And lately I've been on this journey to discover who I am and to become the person that I am. I have gotten to the point where I'm beginning to learn not to get my own emotions validated or need the support of my husband in what I am doing. For quite a while, I needed that support. I couldn't move without it. And now I am learning how to be me and to be loving to me. It's coming slowly, but it's coming.
Okay, let me do a little bit of work with you right now, okay?
Okay.
Okay, I'd like you to just put your hand on your heart right now.
Okay.
I'd like you to breathe into your heart. And I don't know how much you remember of the loss of your sister when you were 3.
A lot.
But in fact, the feelings are in your body. A 3-year-old is fully capable of feeling the heartbreak of that kind of loss. How old was your sister?
5.
When you lost?
She was 5.
She
was 5.
Okay. Yeah, okay. So she was your older sister. And how did you lose her?
She passed away as a result of surgery. She had polio when she was like 18 months old, and that crippled her right arm and stuff like that. And she had to go through a bunch of surgeries, but she passed away as a result of a tonsillectomy back in 1953.
Oh, dear, dear.
That
okay.
was the...
So, honey, just put your hand on your heart and breathe into your heart right now. And I'd like you, even though you might not have clear memories, I'd like you to just breathe into the heartbreak right now of losing your sister, the heartbreak of your mother not being there and being affectionate, of probably nobody really being there for you with the loss of your sister. Really breathe into that and be with that and bring deep compassion and deep kindness and gentleness and tenderness to yourself as you breathe into that. And imagine you, as the adult that you are right now, holding that three-year-old and truly being there, so that even though the three-year-old is going through the heartbreak of loss, she's feeling safe because you're there. You're there in the way that your mother couldn't be there for you because she didn't know how. You're there with the love. And I don't know where you are with your spiritual connection, but I'd like you to imagine your own higher self, an older, wiser part of you, holding you while you're holding that little three-year-old, so that you're not alone either. And you're being held in the arms of love while you're holding that little girl in the arms of love. And just keep breathing that in, Lynn. And I think there's a lot of heartbreak there.
It hurts really bad.
It hurts,
bad.
Yes. It does hurt. And there's a lot of heartbreak that you couldn't feel then. You were too little and you didn't have help. And there's heartbreak all along with the lack of affection from your mother.
I have felt so alone all my life.
Honey, I really understand. But I have to tell you that the inner bonding process is what heals that. And you're not going to even know what can happen in your marriage until you learn how to give all of this to yourself, to connect with your higher guidance so that you don't feel alone and you know you're not alone. And you bring that love into yourself with deep compassion and gentleness and tenderness and filling yourself up with love and not feeling alone anymore. I don't know of any other process. I've been developing this for 42 years. You know, I started out as a traditional therapist for 17 years. I was not happy with the results of that. And then I was praying for a new process to come in, and that's when I met Dr. Erica, and we put together inner bonding. And we've been evolving it for 25 years. It is such an incredibly powerful process, Lynn. And I know that if you learn and practice it, things are going to dramatically change for you. You will no longer feel alone. Pardon me?
I know you're right.
Yeah.
I've been watching your videos on YouTube. And I'm going to go get myself a nice fluffy teddy bear.
Good. Well, I also hope you consider joining our website, because that's really what creates the progress, is ongoing support. This is not something that people... Pardon me?
I can't afford it right now. I saw your website.
Okay. Well, I just want people to consider that it's far, far less than any counseling, and it's generally, you know, for 1 month, less than a meal out. And so for most people, it just depends on what's important.
Yeah.
Because I think that a lot of people spend money.
I have no income.
Okay.
But anyway.
Honey, if you really want to do the work and you really want to join the site, you email me personally, and I will give you an enormous discount so that you can. I'm very interested in people having the support that they need.
Yep.
So if you email me personally at margaretinderbonding.com and let me know what you can afford a month, I will get you on the site if it's something you really want to do.
Okay. You know what? I was actually attracted to interbonding.com about 5 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And I obviously abandoned myself because I didn't follow up with it.
Right. Well, I'm telling you that this will heal that aloneness that you've had your whole life. Okay, sweetie, I hope I see you on the site.
Can I ask one more question?
Okay.
I have spent my entire life trying to please everybody. Is that a product of this wounded self?
Oh, yeah. It's trying to please everybody else is one of the ways that the wounded self tries to control.
Okay.
And it's just another form of self-abandonment and makes you feel very alone.
Okay.
And there's a lot on the website about that.
Thank you so very much.
You're welcome. Is there anybody else on the line that would like to ask a question? And don't forget, you can press *7 if
Hello?
You would like to. Yes?
Hi, I have a question.
Okay,
and
what's your name?
My name is April.
April, okay.
Yeah. And I'm really new to this whole thing. I actually sought it out after a breakup, and I felt like, as you describe, I'm completely devastated and lost. I mean, just almost like a psychotic break, you know. And I was like, you know, what is this? Is this possible? This is codependency. And somehow I attracted inner bonding, and I'm so impressed with just the little bitty things that I read. You know, I get a lot of newsletters, and I skim them. And like today, this week, I read something about learn to respond, not react. You know, those are three really important words, you know. And then today it was something about not seeking other people's approval. And I was like, I was just, there was like 7 lessons of healing or something. I was just totally blown away by it. So I'm.
Well, good. So how can I help you this evening, April?
Well, I was wondering if you could expand a little bit. You said you're not alone. You're always connected to like source or your higher guidance system.
Right.
Could you talk a little bit more about that?
Yes, I can.
Okay.
One of the things that is so powerful about inner bonding is the concept of intention and the fact that there's only two intentions, and one is the intention to protect against our pain with some form of controlling behavior, and the other is the intention to learn about what's loving to us. And the power of the intention to learn is that when you really, truly decide that you want to learn about what's loving, what happens is that the heart opens. And what's called your frequency, which is the level at which your body vibrates, it's like frequency. It's like if you walked into a room of people who were all happy and joyful and loving and laughing, that would be a very light, high frequency. And if you walked into a room of people who were angry and mean, that would be a very low and dark frequency. And so when you move into an intention to learn about what's loving to yourself, you raise your frequency automatically. And our spiritual guidance, however a person experiences that or defines it, whether they see it as God or a higher part of themselves or a teacher or a master or a light or an energy, that guidance operates at a higher frequency than we normally operate. It's sort of like a hummingbird's wings, where they move so fast you can barely see them. Well, spirit is like that. It's because its frequency is so high, we normally can't see it, although there are some people who can raise their frequency high enough to see. But all of us have the ability to raise our frequency high enough to hear. And when you move into a deep intention to learn, your frequency goes up. And so when you ask a question like, what is the truth about this, or what is in my highest good, what is loving to me, you start to receive information. Either you can hear the guidance, or you get images that pop into your mind, or the answers come in a dream, or they come through your feelings. But when you ask the question from a deep intention to learn, it's like it reaches into spirit and it hooks into the information, and your spiritual guidance brings it to you, but only when you're truly in an intention to learn. And so what happens when you practice the inner bonding process, step 2 of inner bonding is the conscious decision to move into the intention to learn and to open to that spiritual guidance. And one of the things that we do, and we work with people individually and also on the website, I have on the membership site, I have a visualization to help people access their spiritual guidance. And so we help people to develop that. And really what happens is that as you practice inner bonding day after day, you just naturally start to get an experience of spirit. I'm at the point when I've been at this point for a long time because I've been practicing it for a long time, that when I work with people, I am not only hearing my guidance, but I am hearing their guidance. And so almost all the work I do is just I'm just receiving the information from that guidance, because when I work with people, I'm in a very, very open state. And so anybody can actually learn to do this, but it takes practice, and it's the practice of inner bonding that raises your frequency and enables you to access that spiritual guidance. So does that answer the question for you, April?
I have one more little part question. Is that okay?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, so basically, though, because you're coming from a truly desire to learn to love yourself and express love, I guess, it's not just yourself, but just be loving and love yourself, right?
Right. Well, it's primarily, it has to start with loving yourself, because if you're focused on loving somebody else, what happens is that actually can foster the codependency, because very often if we focus on loving somebody else, it's because we're trying to get them to love us.
Yep.
And but when we're focusing on loving ourselves and filling ourselves with love, then we get all filled up to overflowing, and then we naturally want to share that love with others. And so when we're just offering love to others, we actually might be pulling on them. There's an empty place inside of us that we haven't filled up with love, and we're pulling on other people by trying to love them so that they'll love us.
I see.
That doesn't work.
So once you do establish loving yourself first, is it kind of like you're not trying to get people to love you, you're loving them without any expectation or something?
That's
or
exactly
just...
right. When you're filling yourself with love, you don't need anything from anybody. But what you do need to do is to share love. We are social beings, and we love to share love. Once you learn to fill yourself with love, it's the most wonderful and satisfying experience in the world to share your love with others without expectations attached.
And that's possible. That's wild. I mean, it seems like that's the number one dysfunction in relationships.
It is. And yes, it's absolutely possible. And it happens all the time with people who are diligently practicing the inner bonding process. And
so,
not only that, it doesn't take forever.
It
absolutely does not take forever. The more you practice inner bonding, the better you get at it. Of course, it's a process. But people who start to practice inner bonding start to feel better right away. They start to be able to feel themselves right away. There's always more to learn. I'm always learning more. It's just a process. But that's life. It's an ongoing learning process. But inner bonding is a very rapid process. Once you learn it and once you practice it, you will be changing your life very rapidly.
Right. So you won't do that stuff anymore where you doubt yourself and you seek approval, like all that stuff stops.
That's right. That stops very quickly as you start to practice inner bonding. You get much more inside of yourself, much more connected to your own truth and to your own guidance. You become your own guru. You stop thinking that anybody else knows what's right for you or that anybody else can tell you what to do, and you start turning to your own guidance for what's right or wrong for you. And you basically become your own guru.
What if someone you're with, like, doesn't, you know that stuff or something? I mean, as an example to them, I mean, or you maybe you'll start
What's relevant in a relationship, and I encourage people all the time to make their list of what they really want in a relationship when they're dating, but what's important is that the person you're with is open to learning. They don't have to know exactly what you know, but they do need to be open, because if they're not open, then you're not going to be able to connect with them in the way that you want to. You can't connect with somebody whose heart is closed, and you can't make somebody open their heart.
Right.
And that's a very lonely way to be in a relationship with somebody whose intention is primarily to protect against pain rather than really learn to be loving. And so as you, we'll see what happens. People get together at their common level of woundedness, and what this means is that the degree to which you're abandoning yourself is the degree to which somebody else is abandoning themselves, even though you might not realize it. And so the more you practice inner bonding and the more you achieve your own emotional freedom and you're taking loving care of yourself, the more you're going to attract those people who are also doing the same thing. Because if you're really taking loving care of yourself and you're present and you're tuned in, you're going to know very quickly when somebody is abandoning themselves, when they're emotionally dependent, when they're needy, and you're not going to be attracted to that person.
Whenever you said the degree to whatever, I don't know if I misunderstood you. Like, the degree that someone abandons you is the degree that you've abandoned yourself.
No. The degree to which you're abandoning yourself. When I say that people are attracted at their common level of woundedness, that means that the degree to which you are abandoning yourself is the degree to which the other person is also abandoning themselves.
Okay.
And so the more you practice inner bonding and learn to love yourself rather than abandon yourself, then you will start to attract people who are also at that frequency.
Great, okay.
Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah.
So basically, inner bonding, if you sign up for it, is it one course or a bunch of different courses, or how does that work?
Well, inner bonding is a process. You can learn it in different ways. You can learn it through books. You can learn it through sessions. We have many facilitators. I work with people individually. We have five-day intensives. In fact, I have a five-day intensive coming up in Santa Barbara in 2 weeks, and I believe there's a couple of openings. I'm not sure. I have a workshop coming up in a week and a half in Los Angeles, and that's a way to learn the inner bonding process. So if any of you are in the L.A. area, that is a great way to learn inner bonding. The website is a community, and it supports people in the inner bonding process. And so there's a tremendous amount of learning that goes on. And on our website, we have a free course. You can come on the website. You can sign up for the free course. But the membership site is what really supports you. And the workshop and the sessions and the intensive, it gives you a much deeper experience of the inner bonding process. So there's many ways to learn it. We have CDs, DVDs, books, many, we have podcasts, many ways of learning the process. So I'm going to take a question that somebody has written in. This is Ellen, and she says, I get ashamed and fearful when I put my needs ahead of someone else's. This must be wrong, but how do I reconcile it? How in the world do I go on living? I feel as though I have a unique gift for being sensitive to others, but I'm numb to myself. This leads to anxiety, depression, and confusion, not to mention mistakes and regrets in my life. So this is a very common issue because many of us have been brought up to believe that we're selfish if we take loving care of ourselves, that we're supposed to put ourselves aside and make other people's needs more important than our own. But really, that's what's called caretaking, and there's always strings attached, and it always makes people feel anxious and depressed and unhappy because it's as if you had a child, and instead of taking care of that child, you kept going off and taking care of somebody else's child.
It's cold, but it's good.
Pardon me?
Do you want it?
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, you've got to push *6 to unmute yourself.
I'm so sorry.
Okay. And so then that child would feel abandoned because you're going to take care of somebody else's child rather than your own. And so, Ellen, I'd like to encourage you to think about taking care of yourself as taking care of a child. Think about your own feelings as a child who needs you to take responsibility for her. It's the opposite of selfishness. It's self-responsible. Selfishness is actually when we expect somebody else to give themselves up for us. That's selfishness. Self-responsibility is when we're willing to take care of our own feelings and our own needs and fill ourselves up with love so that we have love to share with others. And if you were to, Ellen, come on to the Inner Bonding site and read some of the articles on selfishness and on caretaking, I think that you would find your way through this. You would realize that it's the opposite of selfishness to take loving care of yourself. So is there anybody else online who would like to ask
Hello,
a question?
Hello, are you there?
Yes.
Hello, Dr. Paul?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. What is your name?
My name is Janet Steele.
Okay, Janet. Would you like to ask me a question?
Well, I sent a question to you today, and that would be the question I would like to ask you.
Well, why don't you go ahead? I've got really a whole lot of questions. Let me see if I can find yours. But
okay.
Oh, here we go. Okay.
Okay.
I've got yours. So your question is, how can I achieve emotional independence of charge accounts?
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I keep paying them off only to run them up again. I'm only now beginning to be able to think of a debt management program where I would have to close three accounts. Okay, so you're, yes, I'm not going to read the whole question because it's a long question, but I am going to try and answer the question for
okay.
you.
Okay.
I'd like you to tune in for a minute, Janet.
Okay.
And when you think about what part of you handles money, how old do you think that part of you is that is in charge of your money?
Well, let me see. I've never thought of that before. That's a very good question. I would say probably not much older than about 12 years old.
You're right. Okay.
Maybe not even that old.
Right. And so this is what we call your wounded self.
Right, right.
And so your wounded self is in charge of your money. And when the wounded self is in charge of the money, it usually goes in one of two directions. It usually is very indulgent,
uh-huh.
or it's usually really rigid. And so the wounded self might, you know, never spend a dime and save everything and never have any fun on the one side,
uh-huh.
or it may just really indulge and say, well, I deserve to be spending money, and this is
right.
how I nurture myself, and this is how I'm loving because I wasn't nurtured as a child. And that's the indulgent wounded self.
Right.
Okay, and that's what's happening for you.
Okay.
Is that you're allowing your 12-year-old to be in charge of money. Now, Janet, how old are you?
I'm 75.
Okay. Now, who do you think knows more, actually, about dealing with money, your 12-year-old or you as a 75-year-old woman?
Well, of course, myself, if it indeed
okay.
the conscious mind were in charge.
Right. Okay. Now, the challenge is to not let your 12-year-old be in charge of money because she is going to run you up debt.
She already
She's
has.
Got a,
yes.
Yes, that's right. She's got big false beliefs about spending money and that that's loving and that that's nurturing and all of that.
Right.
And so just like a child who's acting out, you need to kind of set limits. You need to sit on her and say, you are not going to be in charge of money. I, as a 75-year-old woman, am going to be in charge. And not only that, but I am going to learn to ask my spiritual guidance.
Mm-hmm.
What is in my highest good?
Right.
You see, and this is where practicing inner bonding comes in. Because truly, if your intention is to support your highest good, you would never do anything to put yourself in debt.
No, no.
No. When your intention is to protect against pain, then you're going to go and spend money because
right.
it's an addiction.
Right.
It's an addictive way of avoiding pain.
Right. Right.
Now, you need to deal with this not just on the behavioral level, because when we try and deal with something on the behavioral level, like not spending money enough or going on a diet or whatever, it doesn't work. You need to deal with it on the deeper level, which means you need to start to practice inner bonding.
Right.
Because you need to start to give your little girl the love she's needing so that she doesn't have to go out and spend money in order to feel okay.
Mm-hmm.
You need to learn to embrace the feelings that you're avoiding with spending. And you need to learn to connect with your spiritual guidance
Right.
So that you know what's truly in your highest good, and you're able to tap into that love and wisdom and bring that down into yourself.
Right.
And so I want to encourage you, certainly make behavioral changes if you can, but as we all know from people who go on diets, that's never permanent.
Right, right.
The only real permanent change is when your intention changes from trying to protect yourself with your addictions to truly wanting to love yourself.
Right, right. Well, I think I like to make a like I'm very important. You know, I can give this gift and I give that gift and I can be just, you know, just such largesse, you know, just so much that I can give. And yet when I'm giving to these in that attitude, I'm taking away from myself and running up this debt.
Well, yes, and you're also not checking in with your guidance and saying, is this truly in my highest good?
Right. Right.
And that's a question I want you all to start to ask all the time. Is this in my highest good? What is in my highest good? What is loving to me? What is the truth? Start to ask those questions, and you will be amazed at the answers that you get.
Yes, yes.
When you really, truly want to know the answer will come to you. The problem is that the wounded self does not want to know this. The wounded self does not want to know what's in your highest good. The wounded self just wants to act out addictively.
Right.
And so it's the loving adult, and this is what inner bonding is about developing our loving adult self, who's willing to ask that question, who's willing to take loving action in our own behalf,
right,
willing to take responsibility for our feelings and for our well-being. Really, we're responsible for ourselves, you know, to make ourselves feel safe in any number of different areas, and one of them is financially.
Right.
And you're not making yourself feel safe financially.
Right, right.
And so no time like the present, Janet.
I know. Well, I've already
started to practice inner bonding and learn to make yourself feel safe financially.
Well, it's the first time in all these years that I'm able to actually consider the debt management. I have talked with a counselor, and I am willing to close the accounts, and I've done an awful lot of work just to be able to think about it, much less to actually do it. So I feel very good about that. I was just very interested in what you're saying because, yes, everything just resonates with me, what you're saying, and I appreciate the time and the maturity that you have.
Well, thank you very much, and I really appreciate all of you being on this tonight. If you would like a recording of this, you can come onto our website. I will be putting it on, or you can click into this site that you're on. You can also get it there, but I will be putting it on our website. We have many other webinars that are on that site that are free that you can access. We do have a public site, and if you put in if you try to click on an article, a sheet will come up, and you can put in a username and password, and that gives you access to the free articles. There are many, there's hundreds of them on the website. It doesn't give you all the support, of course, as the member site, but it can give you a lot of information as well as the free course. So I hope that all of you are going to start to learn and practice inner bonding. It is incredibly life-changing. You know, I spent years in every kind of therapy one can imagine trying to find my sense of inner peace and my joy and my sense of wholeness, and I never found it until Spirit brought inner bonding into my life. And since then, it's just been life is, of course, has its ups and downs, but for the most part, I live in a tremendous amount of inner peace and joy. And I know from my own personal experience and the background that I came from that this process is profound. It is profound. And whatever it is that you came from, no matter how much abuse you might have come from, you can heal by using the inner bonding process. So really want to encourage all of you to come and learn about inner bonding. And thank you so much for being on the website and on the phone with me this evening. God bless all of you. Good night.
Thank you.
Dear heart.
You're welcome.
Thanks.